Jane, age 10. A day off. An owl said she had something fun. Jane ate her mushrooms real fast, along with 2 bites of ration bar. Owl said they had good things in them that mushrooms didn't, and she should have a little bit with her mushrooms every day until the bars ran out. She washed the food down with filtered water from the sink. It still tasted different from the water they drank at the factory, but it was much, much better than the packets. Not just because it was cold and clean and didn't taste like packaging, but also because the reason the sink water was there in the first place was because she'd brought it home. She was drinking water she'd got herself, and that made it taste extra good. She put the wagon outside, too. The rain was everywhere. She wanted to stand and look at it, wanted to try to see where it was falling from. But it was cold and making her clothes all wet. It only took a minute of standing in it for her to understand that she didn't like rain very much. She went back inside, then followed Owl into the bedroom. "Okay, look under the bed," Owl said. "Not your bed, the other one. It should still be under there." "What should?" Jane said, getting down on her hands and knees. There were boxes under there with stuff that had belonged to one of the men who had brought Owl to the planet. Not much of the stuff had been useful, except for the pocket knife. "Here, I'll show you. Look here." Owl's face went away from the wall screen, and a picture of a funny-looking piece of tech came up. Some kind of a small net, with goggles and wires that Jane didn't know the point of. Jane dug around under the bed until she found the thing, put away real careful in a box. "What is it?" she asked. "It's a sim cap," Owl said. "It's a piece of tech that tells you a story inside your head." Jane stared into the box. Nothing here made sense.
"Like a dream?"
"Yes, but it makes more sense than a dream, and you can interact with it."
"What's interact?"
"Do stuff with it. Pretend that you're really there. It's not real. It's all made up, but it can show you lots of different things. I think you might like it." Jane touched the wires. There was nothing pokey or sharp, nothing that would go inside her head. She picked up the net. She could see now that it was round and had little soft patches all along the inside, some kind of feedback patches. The other wires were covered with them too. The wires split into 5 ends each. Hands? Were they for her hands? "What stories will it show me?" Jane asked. "Different kinds of stories. I have a small selection of sims in storage. Most of them are for grown-ups, but I have a few for kids. I remembered them when you asked about the family that owned the ship. Their kids played sims when they had long trips."
"What's kids?"
"Children."
"Am I a kids?"
"You're a kid, yes." Jane took that in. "I'm a human, and a person, and a girl, and a kid." That seemed like a lot of labels for just one girl. Owl smiled. "That's right." Jane looked back at the box. "How do I put this on?" "Put the round thing over your head. There's a strap on the bottom so you can pull it tight against your skin." "Yes, good. Now, those long bits are like gloves. Put the caps over each fingertip and pull the little straps tight." Jane did as she was told. The caps on the net and gloves stuck onto her skin real tight. It was weird, but not bad. She picked up the goggles. "And these? You should lie down before you put those on. You won't be able to see out of them." Jane lay down on her bed and put the goggles on. Owl was right. They made the whole room go away. It wasn't scary, she told herself. Owl said it was okay. Owl said it was okay. I'm going to upload the sim to the kit now, Owl said. And don't worry, I'm right here. You can still talk to me, even when it's playing. Jane relaxed into her pillow. She heard a little click as something activated in the goggles. The net pressed very, very softly into her scalp, like it was grabbing it. The gloves hugged her fingers, too. Her skin tingled. Owl said it was okay. The darkness started to go away. Then it got weird. She was standing in an empty space. She wasn't standing, not really. She was still lying down in bed. But she was also standing in the yellow place. Lying down felt more real. Standing felt like a memory. But it was a memory that was happening right that second. Nothing here made sense. A glowing ball rose up out of the ground with a hum. It stopped right in front of her face. Tek Tem, it said, pulsing bright with each word. Kibis Oom? Jane swallowed. Owl had taught her Tek Tem. Those were clip words for hello. But she didn't understand anything else, the ball said. I don't understand.
Oh,
the ball said. The sound of its voice had changed. Am Sora, hu Spakensk, with Al Spakensk Agath Na F Hu Gun Larin Clip. She frowned. Some of those words were almost like normal words, but the rest weren't. She felt tired already.
Owl,
she called. Owl's voice appeared all around her, as if there were speakers everywhere. I'm sorry, Jane, Owl said. I didn't think about the language packs. Give me just a minute. There must be a module for Skoensk. This franchise got a grant from the diaspora. Ah, here we are. Things may go dark for a second. Don't be scared. I'm not scared, Jane said. Things went dark, just as Owl had said. Okay, fine. It was a little scary. She was all the way back in bed, but she couldn't see anything. She didn't like that at all. But only a second or two went by before the warm yellow space returned, and the ball of light came back. Hi there, it said. What's your name? Jane relaxed. The ball spoke with the same weird kind of sound that Owl had. Accent, Owl had said. It was called an accent, but Jane could understand it now. I'm Jane, she said.
Welcome, Jane. Is this your first time in a sim, or have you played others before?
She bit her thumbnail, or the memory of it, anyway. This whole thing made her feel a little silly.
First time. Awesome! You're in for a treat. I'm the Game Globe. I help make the sim fit you just right. If you ever need to change something, or if you need to leave, just yell, Game Globe, and I'll help you out, okay?
Okay.
Great. So, how old are you, Jane?
10.
Are you in school?
No. Owl had explained school. It sounded like fun. But Owl's teaching me.
Sorry, I didn't quite understand that. Is Owl a grown-up?
Owl is an AI, she said. I live with her in a shuttle, and she helps me be okay.
Sorry, I didn't quite understand that, the ball said. What?
Owl's voice cut in.
Just tell it I'm your parent, Jane, Owl said. It's easier. That thing isn't sentient.
Jane didn't know what parent or sentient meant, but she did as told.
Owl's my parent. Got it,
the ball said.
I'm going to ask you a few questions just to see what kind of stuff you already know, okay?
Okay.
Great! The ball wiggled, then dissolved into shapes, reading squiggles like on the boxes in the shuttle. There were a lot of them, a whole big lot of them, much more than on boxes.
Can you read this back to me?
The ball said.
No.
Okay. The squiggles changed. There were less of them now.
Can you read this?
No, Jane said. Her cheeks felt hot. This was a test, and she was failing it.
I can't read.
The squiggles melted together into the game globe.
That's okay. Thanks for telling me. Do you know how to count?
Yes, she said, sighing. Owl's voice came back. Jane, hang on just a minute. I'm going to tweak this thing's protocols. This is supposed to be fun, not an interrogation.
What's an inter...
It's when somebody asks you too many questions. Here, I'm going to configure the educational parameters for you. Let's see. Starter reading, starter math, starter clip, starter species studies, starter science, starter code, and I'm going to go ahead and say advanced technology. The game globe held perfectly still for a few seconds, frozen in the middle of a pulse.
Thanks for answering my questions, Jane. Now, hang on tight. Your adventure's about to begin.
The game globe spun away like a crazy spark. The light in the yellow space followed it. For a moment, there was nothing. The nothing didn't last long. So much stuff happened at once. A bunch of colors burst all around her, big stripes of them stretching out farther than she could see. Two kids stepped through doors that appeared in the air, a girl and a boy. That was very exciting, because Jane hadn't seen a boy, except in the pictures Owl had showed her. But neither the girl nor the boy looked real. Their bodies were shaped wrong. Big, round heads, big, thick lines along their clothes, and their colors were all the way solid, like paint. They were weird, but there was something nice about them, too. She liked looking at them. The kids were opposites of each other, kind of. The boy had dark brown skin and yellowish hair that was real fun, all curled in soft circles. The girl wasn't like any girl Jane had ever seen. She had shiny black hair that fell all the way down her back, like a blanket, but way nicer. She was brown, too, but a different brown than the boy, kind of like Jane's pink skin, but not really. Later, she would ask Owl for more color words. There had to be better words. Jane could have looked at the kids for a long time, but things went real fast after they showed up. An animal dropped down from somewhere way up high and landed on its feet. It wasn't a dog, or a lizard bird, or anything she'd seen. It had feet and hands kind of like a kid, was red-brown and furry, and had a tail like a dog did, but much longer and thinner. It had a silly face, too, fat cheeks and stick-out ears and a squashed-in nose. There was something in the animal's hand, a curled, shiny metal thing, with a big opening at one end and a smaller one at the other. The animal blew into the small end, and a loud music came out. Bah! Bah, 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 bah! The kids threw their not-real hands up in the air. The colors spun and bounced. The kids talked music. Engines on, fuel pumps go, grab your gear, there's lot to know. Our galaxy is where we play, come with us, we know the way. Big bug from ground and sky, big bug by stars we fly. Big bug, we're the big bug crew, the big bug crew and you.
Hey, Jane, the not real girl said. I'm Manjiri.
I'm Alain.
The not-real boy said. His
Jane reminded herself. Boy's got a different word. His accent was different than Manjiri's, but the same as Owl's. Jane didn't know why that was, but it was interesting.
And this is our best buddy, Pinch,
the kids said together, putting their open hands toward the animal. The animal did a silly jump. Jane did not move. She said nothing. The rain was not the weirdest thing anymore. Not by a lot.
This is your first time playing a sim, right?
Alain said.
Don't worry, this is going to be fun.
Manjiri grinned.
We're so excited for you to be with us on our latest adventure.
The kids and the animal raised their hands up toward the air, where a bunch of red reading squiggles appeared, lit with yellow sparks.
The Big Bug Crew and the Planetary Puzzle,
the kids shouted.
Come on,
Alain said.
We've got to get to the ship.
He waved his hand over the air, and a doorway appeared, not held up by anything. Jane couldn't see anything through the door either, just colors swirling like smoke. She felt weird, like she was wearing too little clothing. She wanted to go back to her room. She wanted a real task.
Are you feeling nervous?
Manjiri said.
That's okay. Everybody feels nervous when trying new things. Would you feel better if I held your hand?
Jane's eyes went huge. Could she do that? Could they touch her? She nodded, once, real hard. The not-real girl's hand felt like a memory of being held. But it was close enough. Something all knotted up inside Jane's chest let go. She squeezed her hand. The made-up hand squeezed back. Holding hands was good. More good than not being hungry. More good than she knew how to say. The furry animal ran up Manjiri's back and hopped onto Jane's shoulder. Jane jumped, but the animal just hung on and snuggled in, making silly sounds. The kids laughed. Jane decided the animal was okay.
Come on,
Manjiri said, leading the way, still holding Jane's hand. Jane followed her through the smoky colors. They tickled in a good way as she went through, and there was the sound of lots of kids laughing. Jane felt a little better, though she still wasn't sure about any of this. They stepped into a ship. Even though the only ship Jane had ever seen was the one she and Owl lived in, she knew this one was no more real than the kids were. The walls, the ceilings, the consoles, they were all big and round and soft-looking, with buttons and knobs that didn't look very functional. Everything was bright, bright colors, green mostly, but also red and blue and yellow. It was noisy in there, too. Lots of beeps and whistles and music sounds. There were two big bubble windows at the front, with lots of not-real stars on the other side. In front of the windows were three consoles, each with reading squiggles at the top. A big, squashy chair sat in front of each one. They looked good to sit in.
This is our ship, Manjiri said. The Big Bug!
The Big Bug's a special ship,
Alain said.
In the real world, ships are powered by different kinds of fuel. Do you know any kinds of fuel?
Jane said. She licked her lips. Algae? Sunlight? Ambi? She thought hard and remembered what Owl had found in the water she brought home.
Scrub? That's right, Manjiri said. Those are all common types of fuel, but we don't use those here. The Big Bug is a ship powered by imagination.
She spread her fingers out flat and wiggled them through the air.
With imagination, you can go anywhere,
Alain said. Jane didn't know what that stuff was, but it sounded pretty useful. She wondered if she could find some for the shuttle. "Jane, do you live on a ship or on a planet?" Manjeri asked. Jane rubbed the back of her neck. "Both," she said. The kids nodded together. "Lots of families go back and forth," Manjeri said. "If you live on a ship, then you already know that you should never, ever fly one without a grown-up," Alain said. Pinch nodded twice, crossing his furry arms across his chest. "But in an imagination ship, we don't need grown-ups. We could do everything ourselves." Alain and Manjeri each raised one of their hands and slapped their palms together. They ran to the consoles, real excited. Manjeri took the one on the left, and Alain took the one on the right. The kids pointed to the console between them. "This one's for you, Jane," Manjeri said. Pinch jumped on top of the empty chair, doing another silly flip. He sure was a busy little animal. Jane sat in the chair, which felt just as snuggly as it looked. Pinch hopped down and sat in her lap. She held still for a minute, then slowly, slowly reached out to touch his head. Pinch made an ooh sound, and with his eyes scrunched tight, rubbed his soft head up into her palm. Jane laughed, but just a little, real quiet. She knew she wouldn't get in trouble for laughing here, but laughing was bad behavior, and it made her nervous. "Okay," Alain said, "let's find out our mission for today." "Hey, Bumble," Manjeri said, "wake up." A face appeared on all of their console screens. Big, fuzzy, yellow, not at all like a person. Jane understood it was an AI, like Owl. Even though Owl had a person's face. This wasn't a real AI, though. Nothing here was real. The yellow, fuzzy face yawned and smacked its lips. "Aw, is it time to get up already?" Alain laughed. "Oh, Bumble, you're gonna sleep the day away." Manjeri pointed at Jane's screen. "Jane, this is Bumble, our AI. Xee's gonna tell us where we're going today." Jane knew that person word, too. It was the one for people who weren't girls or boys, and also what you said if you didn't know which they were. It was kind of exciting, hearing somebody besides Owl use words that Jane had learned. It made her feel like she was learning important stuff. Bumble shook her face and looked a little more awake. "Today, you're off to Theth," Xee said. A picture of a big, striped planet with rings and a whole bunch of moons appeared on the bubble windows. "You'll be meeting with our good friend, Hesheth, who says he needs our help. Some of Theth's moons have gone missing." Jane frowned. Could moons go missing? That seemed wrong. They were real big. Bumble put another little picture in front of the one of the planet. It was a person, but, "Hey," Jane said, pointing, "I know that species. They're, she tried to remember. She was a human species. Aeluans were the silver ones. Hermagians were the squishy ones. Quellen had lots of legs. This one was none of those. This one was green and had a flat face and... oh, why couldn't she find the word? Alain smiled. "Hesheth is an Andrisk," he said. "Andrisk, right. But there was something different about him than the pictures Owl had showed her of that species. Where is his, another word she couldn't find. She felt all dumb inside. She waved her hand over the top of her head, trying to explain. "Do you mean feathers?" Manjeri asked. "Yes," Jane said. "Yes, feathers. Where's his feathers?" "Andrisks don't get feathers until they start to become grown-ups," Manjeri said. "Hesheth's a kid, like us." Jane thought about her smooth head, which would never have feathers or hair either. Would she always look like a kid to Andrisks, even when she got older?
"Okay, Jane, it's time to plot our course,"
Alain said. Jane's interface panel changed. There was a picture on it, a bunch of colored circles with little curvy lines between.
"These are the tunnels that can get us from here to Hashkath, the moon where Heshet lives. Can you figure out the shortest way to get there? Draw your finger from here to there to give it a try."
Jane looked at the lines real careful, then at how they connected to the blinking circle they were supposed to get to. It reminded her of rewiring a circuit. Easy. She traced her finger along the screen, the path behind it turning blue.
"Wow," Manjiri said. "First try. Good job."
Pinch made animal sounds and clapped his hands. She hadn't done much, but Jane felt good anyway.
"Great," Alain said. "Now, hit the autopilot button and we'll be on our way. It's the big red button in the middle."
Jane saw the big red button. There were a lot of other buttons, too, and, oh no, all the buttons were marked with reading squiggles. Would these kids need her to push buttons fast? Did she have to be on task? Her stomach sank.
"I can't read," she said.
"We know,"
Ella said in a voice that made her feel safe. He reached over and squeezed her shoulder.
"Don't worry. Everybody has to learn how. We'll help you practice."
"This one says autopilot," Manjiri said, pointing at a big red button. "And this one says stop."
She got a big grin.
"And this,"
she pointed not at a button, but the long block on top of the console.
"Do you know what this says?"
Jane pressed her lips together and shook her head.
"That's you," Manjiri said. "That's how you spell Jane."